This morning, my guest is Catherine Cagle, and the first thing I have to say is she is a queen, she is a princess, she is, I mean, what
Stop.
Happened was, well, this morning I had two guests scheduled, and one of them got sick, and so at 5:30 in the morning, I got an email from the guest who is not able to be here, and at 6:30 in the morning, I called Catherine, and she said, sure, I'll stay on the whole hour, which is good because we have so much to talk about. Thank
Wonderful.
You. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's already a party here. Catherine is, of course, the founder, the executive chef, the owner of Cafe Pascual's, arguably Santa Fe's oldest, most famous restaurant in many ways. And it's like a party here because she has brought all of these wonderful things from Cafe Pascual's so that we can talk about them. But we're not just here to talk about the restaurant this morning. We're also going to talk about hunger in New Mexico, the food depot, the farm bill, the farmer's market, and everything else that Catherine really cares about so deeply.
So, thank you so much. I am passionate about all those things.
I know you are. So, Catherine, for people who don't know the story of Cafe Pascual's, tell us a little about the restaurant.
Well, we opened 34 years ago at the corner of Water and Don Gaspar, our one and only location, downtown Santa Fe. And we have had the pleasure of serving Santa Feans and visitors to Santa Fe all these years. We're looking forward to our 35th birthday in the spring next year.
Wow, are you going to have a big event?
Well, we'll have to think about that. You know, it's coming.
Yeah, and you've also, during that time, you've done several cookbooks.
I've done two cookbooks.
Yeah.
Cooking with Cafe Pascual's and Cafe Pascual's cookbook.
Yeah, the Cafe Pascual's cookbook was the first one.
First one, right? 1992, still uh-huh. available.
Uh-huh. And then Cooking with Cafe Pascual's, which is the more recent one.
Yes, 2006.
Right, with beautiful images by my longtime friend and an amazing photographer here, Kitty Leakin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the first
your
book, Barbara Simpson, another Santa Fe and photography.
Uh-huh.
So we're blessed with both of those lovely photographers.
Yeah. Wow, it's loud in here this morning, isn't it?
It's great.
Yeah,
it's
happening. So I'm sitting here drinking my coffee from a micaceous pottery mug.
From Felipe Ortega.
Yeah, so tell, how is Felipe associated with the restaurant and gallery?
Well, we have a gallery next door to the restaurant, upstairs, just east of the restaurant. You just follow the yellow bricks painted right next door to the restaurant, and you'll find us on the second floor. And Felipe, we've been representing for over 24 years in our gallery, and also three other mica artists. So mica is a clay found in northern New Mexico that's so full of the mica silica, that when it's fired under ponderosa bark, it melts in this clay. It's just naturally occurring in the clay, and it makes it impervious to liquids. So northern New Mexico Pueblos, and he's Hickory Apache. This is the style of the pots that they've been cooking in since about, 1500. And when he was a little kid, 10 years old, he said to his mother, I don't like the taste of beans. She said, you would if you had your grandmother's clay pot, which led him to become a potter 40 years ago because everything tastes better in clay.
Wow, that's true, and it's so beautiful. Micaceous clay is the shiny, it's usually red when it's fired and has the shiny flecks in it, and I know most people have seen it made by people here and used as bean pots especially.
Yes, bean pots, casseroles, mm-hmm. we have all sorts of shapes available, and coffee pots.
And you can cook with it on top of the stove, and you can put it in the stove.
In the oven.
The
barbecue fireplace.
Right.
I use it in my Orno. It goes to 800 degrees, not a problem.
Uh-huh. You have an Orno?
I have an Orno.
At home?
Felipe made. For
wow.
Yes, it was amazing.
Wow.
So Thanksgiving turkey goes into the Orno. It's just such a treat.
I think I'm canceling my plan to go to my mom's. I'll be at your house, Catherine.
Okay, fine. Great.
Oh, gosh. The other thing that, it's so interesting, the other thing that's sitting here this morning greeting me is a, how to describe, it is a paper mache bobble-headed skeleton clown doll
box.
Yes, it opens up. So it's got the body has the form of a gourd, maybe, and then it has that sort of a pleated Elizabethan kind of collar that clowns wear, and a skull head, and a little cone shaped like a birthday hat. This is a piece of art by Rick Phelps, who is an amazing paper artist here. And I've known for a long time, who you've shown in the gallery.
Yes, well, we show him every single day. He's really one of our just joyous artists who lives here in Santa Fe County and has been making paper sculpture since he was 10 years old. And we are so blessed to have him. So we have large pieces and small table pieces. We have lots of things for Halloween, which you can see on Facebook or on our website. So please.
And your
visit
website
us.
Is it cafepasquals.com? With an S on the end of Pasquale?
Pasquale's.
Okay.
.com.
Yeah. Yeah, I've known Rick for a long, long time. He's one of the truly creative artists of Santa Fe. There are so many artists here, and, you know, there are some people who kind of get into a rut or whatever, and Rick is never in a rut.
It's so true. He's always moving forward. What I have to also point about, what's so wonderful about Rick, he makes us so aware of our environment. He uses only recycled material. So as you see, the wonderful pleated collar on this clown is made from our menus.
Oh.
And we save all of our paper menus, covers, memos, whatever we produce for paper, and our wine list is his hands.
He used the wine list to make the hands on this sculpture. I love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can even see it says varietals on his face there.
Oh, yeah.
And his teeth are a crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
So with the blackout for the teeth from those blanks on a crossword puzzle. He's just so creative and so marvelous and keeps us just delighted.
Well, and you know, I think that's the thing about you and your restaurant that are so fascinating to me. I went over, was looking at the menu last night. Of course, I've eaten at Pasquale's off and on for years. And I was just, you know, just sort of astonished at the level of creativity in the cooking. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is I bought some squash the other day, you know, an acorn and a delicata. And I was looking at those things and I was going, you know, how do you make good autumnal food? You have this great brain. You come up with these amazing recipes. So tell me, what's on the menu?
All the ideas come from many, many sources. Certainly the staff, number one, because they're handling the ingredients every day, and they are the inspiration. So our cooks turn in on, okay, it's the season. What are we going to show people? So we're very, very excited to, first of all, serve, I would say 90% of what we serve is organic, including the food coloring is organic. Everything's organic. Everything, absolutely. I'm crazed on this subject because we want to offer up the most wonderful offerings to our clients. So, for instance, right now we're featuring a small pumpkin. You can fill it, bake it, and then fill it with a vegetable stew. We have it with a chipotle cream sauce right now. And the fun part about a pumpkin is when you roast it in the oven, you can eat the flesh as you scoop out the stew. So it becomes the bowl, the serving device for whatever you decide to put inside it. And it's just so delightful, so colorful, and it celebrates the season that we're in now.
So if I come in and order that, it's sugar pumpkin filled with vegetable stew in chipotle cream sauce.
Yes.
Oh, I saw
it's
this
the
last
fragrance,
night.
First of all, is
yeah,
what happens.
But I get my own little miniature pumpkin.
Yes, well, it's a pound. It's 1 pound pumpkin,
cool.
And then we actually use the seeds from inside. I encourage everybody when you carve your jack-o'-lantern to save the seeds and
dry them.
Just let them. Yeah, just put them in the oven, and turn them around. Sprinkle some chili powder on them, maybe a little tiny bit of salt, and. They're in their white hull, so you can their husk rather, and then you could either crack them in your teeth, or some people eat the whole thing.
Uh huh. Well, when we get pumpkin seeds in the store, are those the seeds that come inside the hull?
Yes, the green ones.
Ah,
that's what's inside, or the white ones are the whole pumpkin seeds.
But you can just, and so when you roast them like that, do you just bake them like 350 in the oven?
Yes, really. Well, a little slower perhaps, and stir them a couple of times and wait for that fragrance,
and then
you know when they're ready.
Put them on salads or on soups or
soups, salads, bread. We serve them as soon as people sit down at the table. That's what they get, a little chamayo chili sprinkle on them and a little bit of salt. So it's just a delightful roasted pumpkin seeds.
Yum.
Yes. And it's very good for you, by the way.
Yeah, pumpkin seeds are supposed to be really good for you. So You know, I know that you have a really, I'm talking, by the way, for those of you who may have just tuned in, I'm talking to Catherine Cagle, the owner, founder, executive chef of Cafe Pasquale's, and we're talking about autumnal food and lots of other things this morning. Thanks for joining us. So, back to the menu. I'm sitting here, and in front of me, inviting you on the show is perhaps the most brilliant thing I've ever done on the show, because sitting in front of me is a baked apple in pastry with caramel sauce on the side. Now, this is beautiful, and I know people will want to go to Cafe Pasquale's and have it, but could an ordinary person make this at home?
Absolutely. In fact, on Facebook and our website, we have the recipe for our baked apple right now. And the fun part about making a baked apple with a cinnamon stick sticking straight up from the cavity that you've now filled with all the goodies that you have at hand, raisins and butter and nuts and cinnamon, is the cinnamon stick, so it looks just like the apple with a stem on it. But we take a pie dough and put it around the whole apple before we bake it, and then we cut out leaves and inscribe them with their little veins and put them onto the wonderful round baked apple, and then we put it in the oven and the whole thing turns golden. So now you have a pie that's upright.
This is just incredible. It's so beautiful, and plus it tastes really good.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. It was something that I grew up with. It was a family recipe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apple dumplings meant fall. We were very excited about having this as children, and I thought, why not bring this to the restaurant? So, it's, again, just pulling from everywhere to remember lots of memory and lots of current things that we bring to the menu.
You know, Catherine, it occurs to me, you've been doing this since 1979. You've been actually in business as a restaurateur since then. Do you ever get tired of it?
Well, the fun part of my job is I get to reinvent constantly. Reinvent the menu, reinvent what I'm interested in, what the restaurant's initiatives are, which was really one of the things that I am passionate about as the farmer's market, because it produces marvelous organic ingredients for all of us in Santa Fe County. And it also supports our small farmers and people who wouldn't ordinarily be able to access excellent ingredients for people who have food stamps and the SNAP program. So that's something I'm very interested in. Also very interested in making sure that we don't waste any food in our community.
Let's go back. You had a part in beginning some of the organizations in Santa Fe that serve the hungry. Let's talk about that.
Well, I just happened to read about a program in Berkeley, my hometown actually in California, when I was visiting at home, and it was about how people pick up leftover prepared food from restaurants, bakeries, grocery stores that would otherwise be thrown away. It was perfectly edible. So I went, wow, we have that situation here. I have leftover food every day. Let's pick it up. So I came back to Santa Fe and immediately put a call out for volunteers to do something we called the Food Brigade, which was pick up perishable food from all the sources in Santa Fe, caterers, all sorts of places. And that just really, really was a spark that was needed, because it was the 90s and people began to think about recycling and fresh food was going to waste. And even Gleam Farms. So that kind of led to the obvious thing of we're helping social service agencies. How can we make this net even bigger? So we pulled together all the food providers in Santa Fe County under one roof. And you can see it today on Siler Road, the Cole Green Angel Depot. But it sparked something else, which was that we didn't have a food bank in northern New Mexico. And we are the most food insecure state in the nation. I'm not sure listeners understand that 20% of the population of New Mexico, the adult population, are missing meals. This is really not only tragic, but I think actually there's some shame attached to it. This is the richest nation in the world. Mm-hmm. People are going without food. The children, 30% of the children in New Mexico do not know where their next meal is coming from when they go to sleep at night. So they are very dependent on the community for providing for them. This is not people who are are just slackers.
Living on the dole, or as they say, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are 77% of the people who receive food stamps are working.
Right.
And there's not enough money to buy food.
Yeah, they're working and they're maybe making minimum wage. Maybe there are two adults in the household working and making minimum wage or a little more. And that is simply not enough. I was doing a little research on this and found out that the average family income for a household looking for food assistance is $900 a month. That's the average. They're making $900 a month. Can you imagine trying to feed yourselves, maybe two or three kids, on pay the rent, pay, and every month for those people, the choices are, can we buy food? Do we pay, what do we do first? Pay the rent? You know, pay for our transportation, whether that's the bus to get to work or whatever. You know, what do we pay for? The utilities to have heat in our house or our apartment or whatever. So, yeah.
That's why it's so important for our community and listeners to turn in and help our neighbors. We really would, I mean, we have an actual opportunity to end hunger. We really do. We have this marvelous new facility. The city contributed an acre behind the existing depot to build just a giant building to hold. When the recession came on, our food bank was too small. We had to make the Santa Fe Food Depot bigger. And it is. It's already opened, and now we need lots of volunteers to do lots of things.
So the space, the building behind the food depot, the cool-looking modern building we've all seen on Siler Road, the Cold Green Food Depot, the building behind it is kind of a warehouse now.
Now it is actually the home of the Santa Fe Food Depot. It is Santa Fe's food bank, and it serves nine northern counties and 135 social service agencies in the counties around us. There's a delivery program because these small groups that are serving people in Harding County, Taos County, all those nine counties above us, don't have the funds to come to Santa Fe to get the food from the food bank. The food bank, I should say, how does the food get there? It's from producers outside of the state, which have been dwindling since the recession because producers are not overproducing. They're working on very small margins themselves. But the need is growing every year in Santa Fe for, as you pointed out, for people who really can't make ends meet.
So excess food from food producers is distributed, and we get some of that at our food depot.
Absolutely. And we had to turn it away in the old depot. We did not have enough refrigeration space, which was why it was so important to build a new one. And now, as I said, there's 16 mobile food pantries just in Santa Fe County. If people would like to know how to volunteer, please phone the food depot. There's all kinds of ways. Filling kids' backpacks on Fridays so that the children can, or on Thursdays rather, so the children can have a backpack to take home to share with their siblings to make their nutritional needs be met over the weekend because they don't have enough food at home. And snack packs are put together. They are kids who have been identified by their teachers who are at risk for not actually being able to meet their nutritional goals over the weekend. So we need people to fill that, people to sort the food that comes in from many sources. Also the farmers, community farms around the county contribute to the food depot, very important. These sources are, as again, gleaning from any producer goes to our food bank.
Let me mention just while I'm here, if you you can go and read a lot about the food depot online. The website is thefooddepot.org, and the number in Santa Fe is 471-1633, and you can call and find out about volunteering.
Right, and there's all sorts of other things like office work, not necessarily doing things with handling food, but lots of strategizing and lots of reception work and lots of needs there, so they can really plug you into the skills you have or maybe learn some new ones.
Yeah.
Oh, and also not just individuals, but groups. Church groups go and help. There's even a program for children to go help because kids love to learn about volunteerism and working together. It's a really marvelous opportunity. They've just figured out a new program for young children.
And there is an event coming up, isn't there, that we were going to talk about?
Pie Mania.
Tell me about Pie Mania, Catherine.
Okay. Pie Mania is a program that supports the Food Depot. And Saturday, November 9th, from 1 to 5, there's going to be an opportunity to taste pies from chefs all over Santa Fe. They will be available. They'll be auctioned off. And pies to take home for the weekend. And we're going to be featuring a little individual crustatas so that people might want to just get one or two.
What's that? A crustata?
Just a little tiny open-faced pie. So last year we did the food, apple dumpling that you're having this morning, and it seemed that people enjoyed being able to get two, four, or six to take home.
So this is really, it's really one of those things. It's like the empty bowls program.
Right, and it's going to be at Builder's Supply Appliance on Pacheco Street, and it's kind of fun because there's all these marvelous kitchens. So you go from kitchen to kitchen with a different chef in each with their marvelous fresh pies ready for auction. And it's just great fun to meet and greet each other, and it does support the Food Depot.
So that's Saturday, November 5th, 1 to 5 p.m.
November 9th.
November 9th, I'm sorry. I looked right at it. Senior moment. November 9th, 1 to 5 p.m. at Builders Source Appliance Gallery on Pacheco Street. And you can call the Food Depot to get tickets, 471-1633, extension 12, or you can drop into the Food Depot and buy tickets there. There's plenty of parking in the area of the Builder Source Appliance Gallery.
And you can get tickets at the door as well.
Yeah, you can buy tickets at the door. And we don't, on public radio, we don't talk about how much the tickets cost, but just let me say they're very cheap.
The door is
very cheap.
And one
then,
digit.
And then once you get there, there's an auction for the pies.
Right.
And so the point is not that the pie is worth $100, but that the $100 is going to the Food Depot,
exactly.
if that's what you paid for in the
end. And there's lots of samples and lots of tastes, so you can decide which pies you would be interested in.
It's not
in
like they torture you with these beautiful pies. You can't,
Oh, no, you get to roam from the marvelous Builder Sources kitchens. There's about 12 kitchens there, and you get to roam among them, see different styles.
See the stoves.
Your dream kitchens.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
And Catherine's going to be there from Café Pascual's.
Café
Pascual's,
like
yes. Ahmed Obo and Abdul Sud of Jambo are going to be there. Andrew Cooper of Terra at Four Seasons, Rancho Encantado. Josh Gerwin of Dr. Field Goods. Anna Marie O'Brien of Café Fina. Brett Sparman of Luminaria at the Inn and Spa at Loretto. Irene Barba and Jenny Coe from the Swiss Bakery. And there's one more person on here that I can't read on the very bottom. It's kind of fell off the Xerox. Andre.
I can't see that either. I'm so sorry. Aww. Anthony Smith of the Old House at El Dorado Hotel. Yana Martinez of Rosewood Inn at Anasazi. Alain Salazar of Midtown Bistro. And Ostria de Assisi is also going to be there. And Xavier Grenet of Ristra.
Wow.
And then many more.
Wow. Everybody's making pies.
Absolutely. It's really fun. Everybody's pie-eyed.
I need to take a break now. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back in just a second. Stay with us.